Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are very quickly coming to the verdict, which summarizes what Paul has been teaching about the universal guilt of all mankind in Romans chapters 2 and 3. But before we get back into that, let me pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, May 3rd edition of the Beacon Broadcast and encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month number 5, entitled Finding Your Assignment. Finding Your Assignment, Romans 15, verses 20 through 24. It is yours upon request if you'll write and give us your name and return address and the call letters of this station. Simply mention Sermon of the Month number 5. There is no cost. Our address is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Well, in Romans chapter 3, Paul quotes a number of texts from the Old Testament scriptures, which together support the sinful depravity of men. You'll find it beginning in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all got out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that last one in verse 18 is the reason for all the others. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And for that reason, there is no fear of the law of God. There's no fear of the judgment of God. And therefore, there is continual breaking of the laws of God, continual disregard of the laws of God. No fear of God. No terror of his holy wrath. No reverential fear for his majestic person. And therefore, I would admonish you, dear friend, to do whatever you can to keep God before your eyes. You say, wait a minute, I can't do that. He's invisible. I can't see him. All right, what I mean by that, therefore, is to do what you can to keep God prominent in your thinking, prominent in your conscience. You need to ask God to help you see him with the eyes of your soul and to keep him before you at all times. And how do you do that? Well, one thing you do is to have regular times of Bible reading and prayer. And another thing you do is to be sure that you are faithful to public worship. And you need to be involved in a church where God is worshiped and where the focus of the meetings is the worship of God and not the exaltation of man, or religious entertainment, or simply talking about people's emotional and physical and psychological needs. Although the Bible does address those things to a certain extent, the greatest need of the hour is to keep God before our eyes. Man's problem is there is no fear of God before their eyes. The solution, therefore, is to keep God before our eyes. Yes, to keep the fear of God before our eyes. And it is because of man's sinful tendency to try to avoid that, to avoid keeping God in a prominent place in his thinking, that we have the proliferation and in our day even the great acceleration of sin that we see all around us. And I don't need to go into that again, but I tell you, it just keeps striking me over and over. It seems like I got back from a short trip out of the country to visit a missionary, and I was scanning through the newspapers when I got back, and I was gone for only less than a week, and it just struck me, in every newspaper, there was a report of violent crime. I mean, local violent crime. Murders, kidnappings, rapes, child molestations, every newspaper, and it didn't used to be that way. When we moved to Alamance County, North Carolina in 1973, reports like that came up a few times in the year, but they were rare. Now, they are virtually a daily occurrence. Our county has grown in population, maybe by 30%. In the 30-some years that we've been here, I suppose. But it hasn't doubled in population. I don't think it's even increased by 50%. And yet the crime rate has just absolutely skyrocketed. Well, as the fear of God diminishes, sins against the law of God increase in reverse proportion. You diminish the fear of God by 50%, I guarantee you, you will increase the violation of God's commandments by at least 50%. You diminish the fear of God by 100%, and you're going to see an increase in the violations of God's law by 100%, and so forth. Now, how do men endeavor to avoid thinking about God? Well, there are two ways. One, of course, is to avoid Christianity, avoid the Bible, avoid religion. People don't want to think about God, and so they stay away from everything religious. In fact, may even claim to be an atheist or an agnostic, and even if they don't make that claim, they just avoid church, they avoid religion, they stay away from Christians and religious people, they avoid religious programming on television and radio. People like that are not listening to the Beacon broadcast right now. And that's the way that some people succeed in doing what they want to do, namely, to keep God out of their thinking, and therefore, there is no fear of God before their eyes. But I'll tell you the way that most people do it, and that is by adopting a corrupted or counterfeit religion. Far more people are religiously avoiding God than are non-religiously avoiding God. It has always been that way. You study the Old Testament scriptures and you'll find that the world was filled with what? False religion and idolatry. And even God's people, the nation of Israel, to whom God had revealed himself in such clear, unmistakable, and spectacular ways, demonstrating his power, his majesty, his grace, his goodness over and over and over again, and yet they were constantly pulling away from the true God and adopting false religious practices borrowed from the people around them, carried with them from Egypt. And so it was a constant battle, both among the Gentiles and among the Jews. Among the Gentiles, false religion rampant, idolatry everywhere. Among the Jews, apostasy from God, false religion of one kind and another. And dear friends, that's exactly what's going on in the world today. Please don't adopt the philosophy that all religions are the same. Please don't adopt the philosophy that all religions lead to God and lead to heaven. Please don't adopt the philosophy that all religious people are worshiping the same God, because the fact of the matter is that most religious people are not worshiping the true God, including many people who call themselves Christians. I do not need to tell you, surely, that not everything that calls itself Christian is Christian. I do not need to tell you, surely, that in addition to all of the cults, as they're often called, which are offshoots of Christianity and all claim to be Christianity, they claim to be true Christianity, but are in fact corruptions of the Christianity of the Bible and corruptions of the worship of the God of the Bible. They're not worshiping the God of the Bible at all. But I need to tell you, point blank, that liberal, modernistic, apostate Christianity is not Christianity either. Oh, how many decades ago now has it been since J. Gresham Machen wrote his book on liberal Christianity? And I can't remember the exact title of it right now, but he was quite a scholar, and I won't go into all of that, but he set forth to demonstrate in that book that liberal Christianity, or modernistic Christianity, various names that are given to it, was not Christianity at all. It was a different religion. It is not the religion of the Bible. It is not worshiping the God of the Bible. And yet, of course, it calls itself religion, and this religious practice is being conducted in church buildings all across America every Sunday, in churches that call themselves Christian, in many of the biggest, most prestigious churches in your community. You will find people gathering who call themselves Christians. They are worshiping what they call Christian worship, but they are not worshiping the God of the Bible. They are not following the way of salvation as found in the Bible. And they are, therefore, avoiding God. This is the way that many people avoid God. They adopt a corrupted form of Christianity as their way of keeping that pesky God of the Bible out of their lives. There is no fear of God before their eyes. People don't want to deal with God as he truly is. And so many times they will make false gods to worship in his place. You want to see what the world, and I'm talking about the religious world, you want to know what the world's estimation of God is, then look at the cross of Christ. Remember who crucified Jesus Christ. Who was the primary motivating force behind the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Religious people who claimed to worship the God of the Bible, the one true God, they claimed to believe the scriptures that God had given, and they were the ones who demonstrated their estimate of God by crucifying God the Son when he came. They weren't worshiping the God of the Bible. Jesus makes it very clear. If they had believed in God, they would have believed in him. If they had truly been willing to accept the God of the Bible, they would have accepted the Son of the God of the Bible when he appeared. And their rejection of Christ and their refusal to let him reign over them was simply the evidence of their rejection of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their refusal to let that God reign over them. They were perfectly happy to have a God of their own making that they would follow and worship, but they were not about to submit to God as he truly is. They would not submit to his authority. They would not submit to his laws. They would not submit to his sovereignty. Indeed, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's who Paul's talking about here, is the religious Jews, primarily. The quotation, starting in verse 10, from the Old Testament, are all indictments against religious Israel. No fear of God before their eyes. Dear friend, you better ask God to give you a true reverential fear of himself in your soul. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.